That's fine, that's fine. Good morning. Okay, so we're continuing our class, and we're discussing different pieces from Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu that really connect to the time. So we're continuing upon the Shivat and Nechemta, the seven different haftorahs of Nechama that we read at this time. So I wanted to go into the second one, which was the haftorah of Akev, which starts off in your Yeshayahu Perek Mem Tes with Pasuk Yud Dalid. So if everyone has it, I'm just going to read the first few inside like we do, and then we're just going to try to develop some idea that I think really is going to speak to us and hopefully, you know, help us discover this time period a little bit more. So let's start with Pasuk Yud Dalid. The Haftorah starts with Pasuk Yud Dalid. Remember, we have these three harsh nevuas from basically the Tulas de Paranusa, and then we start these seven nevuot of consolation, of Nechama. And basically, you know, according to some, it's actually almost a dialogue between Bnei Yisrael and Hashem. And Hashem is trying to, obviously involving the Navi, but in trying to comfort us. So here we have, Vatomer Tzion Azavani Hashem, Va'adonai Shechachani, right? So Bnei Yisrael, called Tzion, they're saying, Hashem has left me, he's forgotten me. And the response is, Hatishkach Isha Ula, right? Can a woman possibly forget her baby? Mirachim ben bitna, and could she not feel compassion for the child of her womb? That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response to us. We say to Hashem, Hashem, we feel like you forgot us. And Hashem says, is it possible? Can a woman possibly forget her child? Could she not have compassion on the child of her womb? Gam eila tishkachna. Even if these forget, even if you have a scenario that there is some, we hear sometimes, unfortunately, in the news of some cruel mothers or some crazy mothers, even if these types of people, they can forget, but Hashem says to Bnei Yisrael, no, I'm not going to forget you. Right? I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. I can't forget you. You're right here. You're always in the palms of my hands. Your walls are always before me. Your children will hasten to return. Your ruiners and destroyers, they're going to leave you. Raise your eyes around, Bnei Yisrael. Look up, pick up your heads and look around. What are you going to see? Kulam nikbatu, ba'ulach. They're all going to be gathered. They're all going to come to you. Chayani no'am Hashem. It's basically like Hashem is almost swearing. And he's saying, ki kulam ka'adi tilbishi. You will clothe yourself from all of them. Utikashrim kikala, and you will adorn yourself like a bride. Ki chavosayach v'shomamayach ve'eretz harusasayach ki atat teitri me'oshvei v'rachakum avalayach. Right? As for your ruins and for your desolations and your devastated land, now you're going to be crowded with inhabitants. And those who devour you, they're going to be distanced. The bad people, they're going to be pushed away. So Hashem's saying, no, Bnei Yisrael, I'm not going to forget you. You're going to be engraved in the palms of my hands. And not only that, you will once again be this beautiful city. You will be adorned with your inhabitants. You will be adorned like a kala, with adi, with all these beautiful adornments. So it's very interesting. We look, especially in Yeshayahu, when we have so many instances of this imagery. What is this imagery? That Bnei Yisrael are described as the clothing of Tzion and of Yerushalayim. We have, obviously, in our Haftorah, where Hashem saying to Yerushalayim, raise your eyes, right? And see that they're all have come and they've gathered to you, and you're going to clothe yourself with them. With who? With Bnei Yisrael. And you are going to adorn yourself like a bride. Bnei Yisrael are these adornments which make Yerushalayim so beautiful. And again, we have another pasuk in Yeshayahu where he uses the same imagery. In Perek Nunbet, pasuk Aleph, he says, the Navi says, Uri, Uri, Lishi Uzech Tzion, Lishi Bigdei Tifarteich Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. Awaken, awaken, don your strength, O Tzion, O Zion, don your garments of splendor, O Jerusalem, holy city. Again, once again, we have this imagery of of clothing, of Bnei Yisrael being the clothing, but not only clothing, clothing of the splendor of Yerushalayim. And again, we have in Perek Samach Aleph, Pasuk Yud, So sasis b'Hashem tagel nafshi b'elokai, ki hil b'sheini b'gdei yesha me'il tztaka ya'ateini. I will rejoice intensely with Hashem. My soul will exult with my God, for He has dressed me in the raiment of salvation. In a robe of righteousness has He cloaked me. So again, we have once again this imagery so strong of Bnei Yisrael being the clothing of Yerushalayim, but it's not just regular clothing. It's always clothes of splendor, big day tiferet. It's the ones that we're going to adorn ourselves like a kala, like a bride. It's clothes of strength, clothes of righteousness.
Question. At what point in time do we know a specific point in time where Yeshayahu spoke these words? What was the situation? Where were the people?
Again,
Is it a writing? Is it a speaking?
Again, the second part of Yeshayahu, what we spoke about in a lot of the previous classes, is Yeshayahu was the Navi of the Nechama. This is really talking about the ultimate. In the future, it will happen.
Yes.
So this.
But I'm asking. I mean, I don't.
What time period? It was before. Again, Yeshayahu was the last Navi 40 right. years before, right. So he was the Navi that preceded Yeshayahu. So it was before the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. Of the first Beis HaMikdash, okay.
So do we know, I understand the time period, but we don't know any specifics of where he spoke it?
Each one is a different time, but it's general that these Haftorahs are ones of consolation. It's almost like we said that it was the Refuah Lifnei HaMakkah. It was like letting...
You're not answering my question.
Meaning,
do we know what group of people were assembled or at what point he said it specifically?
Like a year. I don't...
Everything you're telling me is in generalities.
I understand. So some of the Haftorahs, some of the Perukim are more specific, like, you know, you'll have the time period or, you know, with Uziyahu of Achaz, etc. This one, not necessarily. It could be that I could look into it and I could find you a more specific time, but through these Mefarshim, I can't tell you there's an exact time.
This entire Haftorah that we read, I mean, the last words are the conclusive words, you know, of Nechamta. So was this whole entire speech of, let's say, 75, 85 lines, was it all said at one time?
It seems so, yes.
Yeah.
Again, there are many people that if you look through the dialogue of the seven Haftorahs, that they almost pin it together as if it's a dialogue between Hashem, Bnei Yisrael, and the Navi. And that, you know, Bnei Yisrael says, Hashem, you forgot us. And then Hashem responds, no, I didn't forget you. You're engraved on my hands. Well, this, well, that. If you look through the seven, there are some that say that it's actually all one dialogue of the three. So it's not necessarily seven, you know, specific instances.
So do we know who, what member of Bnei Yisrael, or which group would have been in dialogue with Yeshayahu?
I don't know if this is specifically a dialogue, because again, this is futuristic. This is what's going to be. This is what's going to be the conversation. This didn't happen yet. It didn't even happen now as we speak right now.
Of course not.
Right. So it's futuristic. This is, you know, him giving the consolation that it will happen. You know, even though there will be destruction, there will be rebuilding. So again, it didn't really occur yet.
So you're speaking the general answer, as opposed to the rest of Israel.
I don't know specifically with this nevuah. I mean, there are others that, you know, occur through different, because there's, you know, there are other ones that he's prophesizing during different kings, Yisrael, and it depends on the different situation. I think this is a general for everyone. Okay, but let's go back to our imagery of clothing, and that Bnei Yisrael are the clothing and the splendor of Yerushalayim. So the Malbim explains that obviously there are levushim regilim. There are regular clothing. You have a regular land, a desolate land, and what is the clothing of that land? You have the grass, you have the animals, you have the regular people that inhabit the land. Then the Malbim continues. 8. Sha'achar shekfar hityashev hamakom, bo'e lov od yoshvim nechvadim, sarim v'chachmot umeilitz shehamakom yalbish od adi, ad malbushav, right? So once we have this land that's inhabited, you have grass, you have people, you have the basic infrastructure, but now you have more people coming, and important people that are coming, obviously that adds to the beauty. It adds to the clothing. It's an extra adornment. Adi is an extra level of an adornment. And it's not only that, but it's we say that it's the ksharim, it's the adornment of a kala. Because just like, which that obviously hints at an even greater importance than the regular clothes, even regular clothing that's of a higher level of splendor, but the begadim of a kala, the adornments of a kala, are even a higher level. It's a greater importance. Why? Kimosha hakala shomeret kushureha shehua adi shenatan la hachatan al yada l'shem kiddushin. Just like a bride, she's careful, she watches over these adornments that her chasen gave her. Why? Because what are these adornments symbolize? What do the rings and the jewelry symbolize? It symbolizes the kiddushin. It symbolizes the relationship between them. Balya abdu mimena. She doesn't want to lose them. Alecha levalya tu od mimcha sheinit. Oh, sorry, I've skipped a line. Balya abdu mimena ki him os hakidush beino uveina. Right? It shows that there's a relationship, that there's a certain sanctity between the man and the wife. Kein tekshirei. We're talking about Tzion of Yerushalayim. Otam alayach levalya tu od mimcha sheinit ki him ot ha'irusin beinecha uvein ha'elokim. Right? Because Tzion, Yerushalayim's adornments, namely Bnei Yisrael, what are they a sign of? They are a sign of the relationship between Yerushalayim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It shows the marriage of the city with God, that there's a special relationship to the city, and Bnei Yisrael are those that reveal the city. We, Bnei Yisrael, are the special jewelry of Yerushalayim. We're not just the regular inhabitants, which are the clothing, but we're the clothing of splendor. We're the jewelry of a kala. We reveal the great relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the city of Yerushalayim. So it's based on this, actually, that we can better understand a verse that we sing every Friday night in Lecha Dodi. Every Friday night we say, "Hitnaari me'afar kumi livshi bigdei tefartech ami." Right? You know, get up and don your clothing of splendor. You know, and at first, when you look at this verse, it's almost strange, because why? We know that am is masculine. We say am chazak. We say am gadol. Right? But this phrase, this stanza is all in the feminine. We say, kumi, lishi, right? Those are all feminine expressions. So it doesn't really make sense that if we're talking to Bnei Yisrael, if we're talking to the Am, the phrase should be written very differently. And yet, instead of written in the masculine, it's written in the feminine. Because it's really, when you look at this phrase, we're not talking, it's based on this concept of clothing of splendor. We're not talking to Bnei Yisrael, to the Am, but rather, Rav Shlomo Alkovitz is continuing from the previous stanza, from the verse that precedes it. And what is that? Who is the author speaking to? Speaking to Mikdash Melech Ir Melucha. He's speaking to the city of Yerushalayim. And what is Rav Shlomo Alkovitz saying to Yerushalayim? Kumi tzi'i mitocha hafecha. Rav lach sheves be'emek havacha. V'hu yachamol olay yachama. Right? We're saying, arise and depart from this upheaval. You have sat too long. You have dwelled too long in this valley of weeping. Hashem, He will once again shower you with compassion. And so this verse is continuing on the previous verse. And in this verse, Rav Shlomo Alkovitz is not talking to the Am. He's not talking to Bnei Yisrael, but rather he is continuing to talk to Yerushalayim. And what is he saying to Yerushalayim? Shake off your dust and arise. Put on your splendid clothing. What is the splendid clothing? The Am is an adjective. Rav Shlomo Alkovitz is not talking to Bnei Yisrael in this verse, but rather he's talking to Yerushalayim, and he's saying, Yerushalayim, dust off your clothing and put on your splendid garments. And what are the splendid garments of Yerushalayim? It's the nation of Bnei Yisrael. It's Bnei Yisrael. We are the garments. We bring the splendor to Yerushalayim. And so in order to really understand this mashal, in order to really gain an understanding of what does it mean that we are the garments, we're the special clothing of Yerushalayim, I think we have to really understand what clothing are. It's actually very fascinating. We're going to try a little bit now to go through Tanakh and to get a deeper understanding as to what are clothing. And I hope through the understanding of what malbushim are, what clothing is, we'll be able to better understand how Bnei Yisrael are the beautiful garments, are the adornments of the Kala, as we are to the city of Yerushalayim. So, in order to understand this, we have to go way back to the beginning of time. We're going to go back to Sefer Bereishis, to the story of Adam and Chava. And we know in Bereishis, Perek Beis, Pasuk Kaf Hei, Vayu Shneihem Arumim, HaAdam VeIshto, VeLo Yitzboshishu, right? When God created Adam and Chava, they didn't wear any clothing. They were naked, the Pasuk tells us, but VeLo Yitzboshishu, but they were not embarrassed of their nakedness. They were not ashamed. And then we continue on in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Vav, says Vatera Isha Kitov Ha'etz L'Ma'achal V'Kita Avahu Le'Einayim V'Nechmad Eitz L'Haskil. Right, the woman saw this tree, looked very tasty. It was a taiva, it was a desire for her eyes, and it was a delight to even contemplate it. Vatekach Mipiryo Vatochal, and she took from the tree. Remember the tree that she was not supposed to eat from, and she ate from it. Vatitin Gam Le'Isha Ima Vayochal. Right, and she also gave it to Adam, her husband, and they both ate from this tree together. So what happens? Vatifakachna einei shneihem, and all of a sudden their eyes become opened. Vayedu ki arumim, and all of a sudden they realize that they were naked. Vatifru alei teina vayasu lahem chagurot, and all of a sudden they felt uncomfortable being naked, while previously v'lo yitboshushu, but they were originally they were not embarrassed. All of a sudden, after eating from the Eitz Hadas, they sensed their nakedness, and they needed to alleviate the situation. So basically, they grabbed what was at hand, they took leaves of the fig tree, and they created for themselves some sort of apron to cover their nakedness. And then the parak continues in Pasuk Chav Aleph, Vaya'as Hashem Elokim la'adam elishto, coat note or vayabi shame. So Hashem actually creates them something more proper. He clothes them with this coat note or, loosely translated as garments of skin, and he clothes them. So it's very interesting. Originally we have Adam and Chava, they're naked, they're not embarrassed. All of a sudden they sin, and then they realize they're naked, and all of a sudden they feel this need for clothing. And so God provides them with the coat note or. According to the Malbim, before the sin, the body was just a kli. It was a vessel in order to do physical actions, right? We have a neshama, but if we want to do certain things in mitzvos, we need an arm, we need a leg. You know, we need a torso, we need body parts in order to facilitate the neshama. But the body was just that. It was just a kli. It was a vessel to do the physical actions. And so therefore, at that point, the body did not need to be covered. Because there was no steer, there was no contradiction between the body and the soul. It was really, the body just reflected the soul. It did whatever the soul wanted to do. And therefore, man wasn't embarrassed of the body. Just like if we think about an animal, right? There's no difference between the external of the animal and the nefesh ha-bahamis, the internal, right? There's no difference. So therefore, does an animal need clothing? No, because the outside is, again, just a reflection of the inside. There's no godly soul in the animal. And so therefore, the outside, the physical body, is just a reflection of his nefesh, of his, you know, his soul or his life source. But then we have the sin. And after the sin, the body becomes physical. Because what? It went after its desires. We look in this pasuk and we see that Chava, you know, it was a taiva for her einayim. There was some sort of desire that she went after. And after the sin, man went after his desires. And so therefore, the leather clothing that now God gave Adam and Chava covered up the or with an aleph, the or of light, the or of the neshama. Because the neshama now became embarrassed of the body. And therefore, all of a sudden, it needed to grab something to cover the body. It was embarrassed of what the body had done, and that the body went after its desires. The neshama didn't want someone else to think that the body is who it is. So therefore, it felt the need to cover the body. because they wanted people to look at the body and say, no, there's something deeper here. It's not just the external. It's not just the physical. There's a neshama elokit here. There's something deeper here. And so therefore, they grabbed at the fig leaves to make some sort of apron to cover themselves. And it's Hashem who gave them these kot not or. And according to the Arizal, Hashem changed the or, this great light that was the shining of the neshama that came through, which all of a sudden became blocked by the body who went after the physical desires, and he changed it into kot not or, garments of leather, or with an ayin, as opposed to or with an aleph. And so now we have this transformation. And according to Rav Hirsch, I'll read from you a little inside what Rav Hirsch says. He says, since the clothing is given by Hashem Elokim, it also has a holy meaning. In dual fashion, clothing educates man to return to his original stature. We have A, clothing covers the body's nakedness, thus warning man to rule over his body. And B, clothing affords protection against the elements of nature, thus reminding man that he has fallen from his former stature, to which he has not yet returned. Man was created without a garment. The peacefulness of paradise prevailed between him and nature all around him. Now, however, he needs a garment, and this garment reminds him that as long as he must be ashamed of his body, he has not yet returned to paradise, and the ground is still arura, its curse. And the Rav Hirsch continues and it says that the foregoing explains why Rav Meir called these garments kot not or with an aleph, garments of life. And why others brought down in the Yakut Shmoni, they called them the big day kahuna, the priestly garments. She'aselo HaKadosh Baruch Hu big day kahuna. What were these garments? According to Rav Meir, they were garments of light. According to others, they were the big day kahuna, they were priestly garments. For the purpose of clothing is to enlighten us and sanctify us like Kohane Hashem. What is the goal of clothing? It's to enlighten us. It's to remind us of our ultimate purpose. And so clothing basically has this dual purpose. On the one hand, it hides, and on the other hand, it reveals. On the one hand, it covers the physical body, and it reminds us, hey guys, you gotta control the physical. You have to harness the physical body. And then on the other hand, it allows the inside to shine so that the outside is not a distraction. It allows us to reveal who we really are. We're the Neshama Elokid. We have this inside, this internal aspect. We're not just merely a body. And it's based on this that we can really better understand the concept of Big Day Kahuna. And so, you know, if you look at the Chumash, you would think, it's physical, why do we care? But there's so much, the whole tzitzava, we have so much emphasis on the clothing of the Kohen. In fact, it's said that if the Kohen isn't wearing this special clothing, the avoda is invalid. There's so much emphasis put on these special clothing because the Big Day Kahuna also served this dual purpose. On the one hand, a Kohen who goes into the Beis HaMikdash, especially the Kohen Gadol, who goes lifnai ulifnim, and does this special avoda, this special service, the special sacrifices, he has to be able to rule over his physical desires. He has to know how to harness the physical body, and so therefore he has this special clothing to remind him. And on the other hand, the clothing, the big zekahuna, has to reflect the special character of the Kohen. It's not enough for the Kohen just to do these things, but he has to have the special character, the internal aspect that goes along with this special avoda. He has to personify certain midos and certain character traits. And so therefore, the clothing of the Kohen represents this internal aspect. It reveals the special midos and the character traits that the Kohen is supposed to personify. So once again, we have this dual aspect of, on the one hand, concealing and harnessing, and on the other hand, revealing. And it's with this understanding that we can look back into some stories that we know very well in Tanakh and really understand what was going on. And we know, what's the most famous story in Tanakh we have about clothing? Good, Yosef. We have Paraglam Zion, Pasa Gimel, but Yisrael Ahava Yosef Mikol Banav. And Yaakov had this special love for Yosef. Ki ben zekunim hulo. So what does he do? Va'asalo ketonet pasim. Right? Yaakov loved Yosef so very much. And so therefore, he gave him this special clothing. He gave him this special beautiful coat called the ketonet pasim. And Rashi brings down the Medrash Agadah that said, what does this coat symbolize? What's this Kesonas Pasim? Pasim is an acronym. It's going to symbolize all that will befall Yosef. And what was that? Namely, Potiphar, the whole story with Ashes Potiphar, the Sochrim, the merchants, the Yishma'elim and the Midyanim, this whole being sold into slavery and transferred from hand to hand to hand, right? I mean, it's almost strange to me when you think about it. Yosef, Yaakov loved Yosef so much, he says, I love you so much, I'm going to give you a coat. And what does this coat symbolize? All the tzaros in your life. Shkayach. Really? It's almost bizarre. I want to remind you now that you're going to have a lot of bad things and a lot of difficulties in your life. I'm going to give you this special coat. Wow, a beautiful coat. So it's almost strange. Why would Yaakov give him a coat that's going to signify all these tzaros in his life? But again, what was the coat? What was the beged? What was the levush? It was the tool to overcome the tzaros and the hardships that Yosef's going to endure. It's through the koach, through the power of this beged, through the power of this coat, through harnessing the physical body and his desires and allowing his neshama to shine through, to being true to who he is, that he's going to be able to overcome the difficulties of Pasim, of Potiphar, of the Sochrim, of the Midyanim, of the Yishma'elim, of all the things that Yosef's going to go through. It's this concept of Beged that's going to get him through it. Just as Hashem gave Adam and Chava clothing when they left Gan Eden, now they're leaving paradise. They're going to have to weather the storms. Yosef too. He's going to leave. Yosef is the Av HaGalus. Yosef's the father of the Galus. Yosef paves the way for us in Mitzrayim. And so Yaakov saw the need to give him this special coat to remind him of how to weather the storms of Galus, of how to get through Mitzrayim. And so what happens? Yosef goes down to Mitzrayim and he's appointed the head of Potiphar's house, and day after day after day, Esh Potiphar, she coaxes him. She tries to get him to be with her, but to no avail. And she's trying. And finally, one day, there's no one left in the house. They all go. They're having a big party for the Avodah Zarah. So clearly, Yosef's not going to go. And Ishes Potiphar plays sick. She wants to stay home because she thinks that now is her chance that she's going to get Yosef. So what does she do? What does the pasuk say? Vatit pesehu bevido. What does she do? She grabs his garment. Because what? She tries to get rid of the beged. She tries to remove the control that he has over his body. She tries to get him to go after his physical taivas, after his desires. The beged symbolizes the control over the desires. And it's so interesting now with this understanding. The Gemara tells us in Sota, what saved Yosef? What prevented Yosef from sinning? Good. So the Gemara in Sota tells us that he saw the vision of his father. But it's more than that. What was Yaakov telling? He didn't just see the vision of his father, but Yaakov said something to Yosef. What does the Gemara in Sota tell us that Yaakov said to Yosef? He said, Yosef, in the future, all your brothers are going to have their names on the Choshen. The Choshen is the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, right? They're going to be part of the big Dei Kahuna. Is your name going to be there as well? Or is your name going to be erased from it because of the znus? What is Yaakov reminding Yosef of? Of the choshen, of the big day kahuna, of the lesson, of the clothing. And he's helping him to help him exert control over his physical body and his desires and overcome this tough nisayon with Eshes Potiphar. So Yaakov reminds him of the beged, of the big day kahuna, of the choshen. Yosef, are you going to be a part of that? Or are you going to let your desires have the best of you? And it's also interesting to note that when Yosef's brothers leave Eretz Yisrael and they come down to Mitzrayim, what does Yosef give them? The pasuk tells us, Perek Mem Hei, Pasuk Chaf Bav, L'kulam Natan L'ish, Chalifot Simlot. Yosef gives them clothing, a change of clothing. Why? They didn't have, couldn't do laundry, they needed clothing. Why is Yosef, they're coming down to the tribe, why is Yosef giving them clothing? But again, we're coming back to the lesson of the clothing. They're leaving Eretz Yisrael, they're coming down to the Golos of Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is Erevas Haaretz. It is the most immoral place. It is Erva, it is all completely after desire. And Yosef's showing them, you want to survive in the Golos? You need the clothing. You need to remember the lesson of the clothing, that you need to, on the one hand, harness your physical body, harness your desires, and be true to your pnimius, to reveal your neshama, your godly image, what's inside of you. And that's the balance. And that's the lesson of the clothing that Yosef was trying to remind his brothers when they came down to Mitzrayim. And it's interesting because we know, what was the merit that Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim with? Shelo Shinu Mabusham, right? That out of all the years, they didn't change their clothing. Because no matter what was going on, they stayed true to the clothing, to the lesson of the clothing. No matter what was happening outside of them, they knew they had to strike this balance. And it was this lesson, it was the clothing, that helped them prevail in the harsh gullus of Mitzrayim. And we continue. Additionally, when Yosef gave his brothers the suits and the clothing, it's interesting to note, Ulevinyamin Natan Chamesh Chalifot Simlot. He gave Binyamin 5. At first glance, I think the guy it seems crazy. I mean, the whole thing that happened to him going down to Mitzrayim was because his brothers were jealous of his clothing. And now he's repeating the action and giving his brother 5 when he gave everyone else 1. It seems bizarre. Why? Why would he do such a thing? Creating more jealousy. But the Gemara in Megillah tells us, Amar Rav Binyamin Bar Yafet, Ramazlo Sha'atid Ben Latzei Mimenu Sheyatzei Milifnei HaMelech B'Chamisha Levushei Malchus Sheneamar Mordechai Yatza Milifnei HaMelech B'Levush Malchus Tzcheles V'Chor V'Ateres Zahav G'dola V'Tachrich Butz V'Argaman V'Ayir Shushan Tzalav Asemecha. Right? Why is Yosef giving Binyamin these 5 garments, extra garments? Because he's hinting to him about the future. What's going to happen in the future? You, Binyamin, are going to have a descendant Mordechai, and Mordechai is going to go out in these 5 special garments. He's creating an impression for the future generation, for the generation of Mordechai, Binyamin's descendant. And the Maharal in Netzach Yisrael explains that Uzzam had this, he says, the Maila of Levush. He had this quality of Levush. And I'm going to quote the Maharal. He says, "Kshishim sheyarash Yaakov ma'alat hatzelem shehu eloki, kach yarash Esav ma'alat halavush." So we have Adam, and we have this ma'ala of levush, and we have these 2 aspects of the clothing. We have this inner aspect, the spiritual aspect, which is the tzelem, which Yaakov inherited, and we have the external aspect. We call the Levush is what Esav inherited. We actually know that Esav got the clothing from Nimrod, who got the clothing from Adam, and Esav had the special clothing of Adam.
The coat
not or. And he continues, Ki ma'alat ha'tzelem hu ma'alat elokit, hu ma'alat ha'levush eino elokit, rak kavod v'yikar nir elei naim, shemarei atzmo b'levush hadar, aval ein zeh ma'alat elokit, rak kavod v'chashivut v'devar zeh yarash Esav, right? Yaakov got the tzelem, he inherited this spiritual aspect of the clothing, but Esav inherited the levush, which is not spiritual, it's external. There's glory, there's honor, and it looks very important to those around you. But there's not the internal aspect which it reflects. There's no pnimius. There's no inside. There's no spirituality with the clothing. And we really see this dichotomy in the Megillah. We have on the one hand, we have Haman. Haman's the descendant of Esav. And he inherited the external aspect of Levush, right? When Achashverosh comes to Haman, he says, Haman, I need to ask you something. There's a person that I want to give respect to. What should I do? Now, if I would ask you that question, you might tell me, there's a lot of things you might say. Give him power, maybe give him money. There's a lot of things. But it's strange when you think about what does Haman say? Let him wear the king's clothing and let him, you know, ride the king's horse and wear the king's crown. I mean, it's almost bizarre. You know, designer names and a designer car, and then everything's good. That's the best reward there could possibly be. Because really, that is what was important to Haman. That is what is important to Esav. It's the world's view that brings honor with status items, with designer names, with luxury cars, with luxury bags. But there's not necessarily anything mamushes to back it. That's the ultimate honor. Mordechai, on the other hand, okay, that's a whole other discussion. That's another discussion, but yes, okay, because Yaakov was taking over that's a whole other shear. But Yaakov was taking over the tafkid of Esav at that point, and that's why Yaakov had to marry Leah. Leah was originally designated for Esav, but when Esav wasn't fulfilling his job of the external of taking care of the world, Yaakov had to take on both roles. It was originally supposed to be a Yisachar Zvulun relationship. But that's a whole other shir. Okay. So Mordechai, on the other hand, he was the descendants of Yaakov. And Binyamin inherited this tselem, the godly and the spiritual aspect of the clothing. And with this, Mordechai was able to harness his physical desires, right? Mordechai was able to stand up and say, no, you Jewish people, you should not go to the party of Achashverosh. You shouldn't give in to the taivas of the world. You need to stand strong. And ultimately, he was able to reveal the tselem, the godly image, with these five special garments. And we see the same concept, the same similar idea when we're talking about Esther. The pasuk in the Megillah in Parakei Pasuk Aleph says, "Vatelbash Esther Malchus." Esther wore royalty. It doesn't say that Esther wore big day Malchus. She wore royal clothing because she herself was royalty, and it's shayach to say that she just wore royalty. Clothing is something that can change. I can dress up in royal clothing even though I'm not royalty. I could pretend like I'm the king. It doesn't necessarily reflect the fact that I'm royal. But Esther was be'etzem royalty. So therefore, it's shayach to say by her. Her essence was royalty. Therefore, the pasuk doesn't need to use the word beged because the external completely reflects the internal. There's no need for the concept of clothing because the royalty that she was on the inside was reflected on the outside. But on the other hand, clothing has this ability and this power, but it also can be very dangerous because we can forget that there's something internal in the clothing. We can think that there's just the externalities, that clothing is all about the external. And really, we have the word beged and we have the word me'il, cloak or clothing. But it can also be read as begida and me'ilah, as rebellion and treachery, because it's this very tough balance. Because people can think that clothing is a goal in of itself, right? And therefore, it can create the opposite effect. Instead of covering the body and harnessing the physical and allowing the panemius to shine through, the body itself is looked at and it's admired. The clothing ends up being the be-all, end-all. Did you see what she was wearing? Or, wow, look at that designer and this and that. And we forget that there's more there than just the clothing, that the clothing is a facilitator, but not the be-all, end-all. And this is the koach that Esav inherited. This is really the gullus that we're in, the gullus of Edom. It's the big billboards that we see everywhere selling us chashivas. You want to be important? You know how you're going to be important? Just drive down Route 4, it will tell you. You want to be important? You got to wear designer clothing. You got to look good. You got to drive a nice car. It's all about the outside. It's all about the externalities. The clothing is the goal. That's how you get chashivas. That's how you get honor. It doesn't matter what's inside. It's all about the outside. And the external body is what's lauded and desired. You got to look fit. You got to look fit. You got to get some surgery. You got to whiten your teeth. You got to lift your face. You got to take out here. You got to do this. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And we forget, and it's often because of that, we forget the panemius. We forget the tselem of Yaakov. That really who we are is about expressing the inside. And that the outside is just supposed to facilitate the inside. And that's why on Purim we wear costumes. Because on Purim, we remind ourselves that the external is really a facade. The external always changes. The glory and the honor of Esav is the external. But on Purim, we try to reveal who we are. We reveal the panemius. We drink wine because we know Nichnas Yayin Yatsa Sod. The wine brings out what's really inside of a person. Because that's really our job, to reveal the inside, to remind ourselves that the external, the external of Esav is really a facade. It doesn't necessarily reflect the real true honor and glory of a person. And our job as Yaakov is to bring out the tselem, is to bring out the panemius. And it's because of this concern that we mistake the clothing for a goal in of itself, that we have many mitzvos that are connected to our clothing, right? We not only have the big day kahuna, we have shatness, we have tzitzis. What is the goal? What does the pasuk tell us about tzitzis? V'lo tatur acharei levavchem v'acharei einechem. The goal of it is to remind ourselves that we shouldn't go after our eyes and our hearts. We shouldn't follow our desires. We're supposed to harness the body. We're not supposed to follow our eyes and our hearts. And it's based on this that we can really gain a deeper understanding to the famous mission of Avos. We say, Kol yamai gadalti bein hachamim, velo matzati leguf tov elashtika. All my life, I grew up with wise men, and what did I learn? What's the best thing for the body? Shtika. We don't just mean silence. not talking, but silencing the body, harnessing the physical, allowing the inside to shine through and to reveal, to show who we are as people, who we are as a neshama. And it's really based on this that we can better understand this, such a misunderstood concept of tznias. Because the Torah is really just giving us guidelines about dignified dress in order to deflect the attention from the outside, from our superficial appearance, to allow people to see the real person who we are, our neshama, our pnimius, our inside. And the Torah tells us that the clothing of the Kohen should be lekavod v'letiferes, for honor, for splendor, for glory. Because the Torah is teaching us that the type of clothing that we wear, it speaks volumes about the honor and the glory of as human beings, and that we are created in the image of God. Tznias is not just this man-woman issue, but it's a human dignity issue. It's for the same reason that a Talmud Chacham, the Gemara tells us, he can't walk out in stained clothing. He has to dress in a dignified fashion, because that's supposed to reflect his pnimius, his inside. And that's really the challenge of clothing. It's to know how to wear the clothing. It's to try to recreate this balance between the body and the soul. On the one hand, to hide and to harness the body, and on the other hand, to reveal the inner aspect of who we are and the dignity that we carry inside of us. And it's really based on this understanding of clothing that we can go back to our original question, that we can really understand how Bnei Yisrael are the adornment. We are the beautiful clothing of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is embarrassed when she's desolate and when the other nations live there. Because why? She looks like a city like any other city. She has roads and she has buildings and she has people and she has traffic like any other city in the world. But really, that's not what Yerushalayim is. Yerushalayim is a godly city. Yerushalayim is a holy city. Yerushalayim is the place where the two worlds meet. Right? It's the heavens and the earth. That's where it all meets. That's where it all comes together. It's the place of Kedusha. And so what is the glorious clothing that really reveals what Yerushalayim is, that testifies to her holiness and her sanctity? What's the adornment that reveals the connection between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the city? It's what we read in our Haftorah. Kulam nikbatu ba'olach, ki kulam ka'adi talbishi v'taksharim kekala. When Bnei Yisrael inhabit Yerushalayim, we reveal the inner essence of Yerushalayim. We reveal what the real purpose of Yerushalayim is. That it's not just a city like any other city, but that Yerushalayim is a holy city. It's a place where heaven and earth meet. It's a place where God resides. And therefore, Bnei Yisrael's presence in that city show what Yerushalayim really is all about. And now, We have this week, we start with Rosh Chodesh Elul. We're starting a new year. And really, what's Elul all about? It's about tshuva. It's about returning. But returning to who we are, to our pnimius, to what our inside is all about. To try to minimize the distractions of the billboards and all the smoke of Esav, right? We spoke in another class that Esav is the avak, but there's not really necessarily anything substantial behind it. Esav is about the externality. Esav is about the designer clothing and the fancy cars, but what's behind it? We come to Rosh Chodesh Elul and we revisit ourselves. We rediscover our pnimius, and we try through this month to try to once again find that balance, the balance of clothing, right? The balance between the neshama of the guf, between hiding and revealing at the same time. And hopefully, this in Elul right now, we're going to try to find, we're going to strike this balance, and we're going to come in, Mirtz Hashem, to this new year, and then we once again, hopefully, will be able to become that beautiful clothing of Yerushalayim, and once again adorn the city of Yerushalayim, revealing its ultimate purpose and its inner essence and sanctity.